is Boss Lady to you, Miss Slice.
Boss Lady. Oh, hi.
Oh, yeah. I am a Boss Lady.
You are a Boss Lady.
Yeah, I am. Look at me, all bossy, bossy. Fluffing my hair. Feel good as hell. That's right. Folks, you are on, believe it or not, Coming Hot into the Box with Slice and Carnage. I am Carnage.
I am Slice.
And welcome.
Hi.
You are here. We are here.
You guys are here.
Congratulations again, making through another week. You killed it this week. Awesome. Way to go, you. So we have a very special episode, maybe possibly two episodes this week.
Yeah.
We are here with our dear friends, Kamikaze Killer.
Hello. Hello.
And Gory Kilmore.
Hi, I'm Gory.
Hi, Gory.
Hi.
You two both skate for Hartford Area Roller Derby.
You sure do.
Yeah, you do. And we are going to have an awesome conversation today.
Yes. We sure are. I mean, something's going to happen today.
Something's going to happen today.
I don't know if we're going to stay on topic, but something's happening.
Probably not. At least for half of it.
I know. We're all drinking wine.
No, I am not drinking wine. I am smoking weed.
So here we are.
Here we are.
The wine was free.
The wine was free.
It's had ice cubes in it.
We're fucking fancy and put ice cubes in it.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking to Derby people. There's no illusions. No. We ain't classy.
No, there's no class here.
There's not. No. I mean, we're classy.
We are of
sassy.
A particular class.
We are of a particular class.
Are we assy?
Sassy.
Sassy
and
lassy?
A little bit classy.
Okay.
A little bit classy.
All right. I accept.
Pinky up.
Slice, what sent you to the box this week?
Food poisoning.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
How did it affect you by going into the penalty box with this food poisoning?
None of the NSOs there liked me.
I could see why.
Actually, funny story, today at work, my friend Jen walked up to me and she was like, "Wow, you look like you've lost weight." I was like, "Oh, thank you. It's the food poisoning."
Yeah.
It's my new regimen.
Yeah, just in case anybody out there hasn't heard, there's a good general rule not to make comments on people's bodies
and change.
Well, you may use other language to imply things like, "Hey, how have you been doing? Have you been working out? You're looking very strong." Right. Or, how have you been feeling? You're looking a little low energy. Just like, "I've been worried about you." Actually haven't,
Yeah.
But yeah, bodies exist.
Like it's a common rule of acquaintances, but with a friend that you tell on the daily that her boobs look great, it's acceptable for her to say.
Yeah.
That implies a level of, like, you share information about the body.
Right, yeah. There is a mutual level of harassment, probably, I guess, for lack of a better word, that goes on between the two of us.
Okay.
But yeah, in general, though, I think it's a great rule.
Yeah,
don't make any comments on somebody's physical
Anytime
appearance.
I can make a grand statement about something, I will. So there we go.
That's what I love about you.
What sent you to the box this week?
Me? Little old me?
Little old you.
You know, I'm not sure.
That's not how this works. I was so perfect. I didn't do anything wrong.
You know, sometimes you don't get any penalties during a game.
That's
true. Or no one sees them.
Right. So,
which is more likely the case.
They count when they see them.
That's right. They only count when they see them.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, I have... I mean, I've kind of pulled myself out of a funk this week. Oh, thank God. I know. Everybody, you're welcome. And let's see. No, I had a penalty-less week. I'm going to go with that. Nothing sent me to the box this week.
Did you get MVP this week?
I think I got MVP
I think
week.
You got MVP this week.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
I think you got MVP this week.
I had to make some pretty big, difficult life decisions, and I got a good raise out of it. So, yay. And my ego has been stroked so much this week about work and, like, people just telling me how great I am. Mm. I mean.
Well, you are great.
Well, I mean, that wasn't a fish for compliments. Okay. It's been really crazy. It's been a crazy wild ride, and I love it.
I mean, it surprises nobody.
You are a likable person.
I only think once you get to know me, though.
You definitely make my top 10.
I do come back.
Yes, you do.
I do come back.
Yeah, see, I mean. Actually, yeah, that. How long have we known each other? How long have we been friends?
I started Derby in 2012, February of 2012. So it's been 11 and a half years. Yeah. Yeah, that's a long time.
It's a long time. And Gori, I think you were in that same. Were you in the group after that?
2014. Mm. August 2014.
Yeah.
And then you pulled me through some interesting, fun times as a rookie skater. I think I spent more time on the ground.
Yep.
In various different splayed directions. I was a big fan of the rock and roll slide.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were. Yeah. That was your signature move for a while.
Yeah.
I think still is. Let's be fair.
Down, slide, try.
Down, slide, get back up real quick.
Figure it out.
Yep. Yeah, so I coached your team mm-hmm. towards the... No, yeah, at the very beginning.
Yeah, you coach. So I started August 2014, made it through.
Yeah, you started rookies, the next season,
and then in like December in January 2015, played with y'all.
Yeah,
and throughout that whole season,
it was so lovely.
Yeah, it was a fun time.
It was a fun time.
Fun days.
I made it out alive somehow, even though I smashed my face during a tournament, and that was a mess.
Yes, it really was. Ow. It really was.
Like, literally mm-hmm. smashed your face.
Do you guys have an Instagram?
Yeah.
You should post a picture of the dragon.
Yeah, the dragon.
Oh, so because from the tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of the dragon, mm-hmm. the pink dragon. Yeah. That was after the tournament, and Gori was there with the broken nose, eating tacos and ice cream. And trying desperately not to pass out.
And Gori, where did you go after the tacos and ice cream?
Hospital.
Yes.
At least you got there.
Yeah.
Great. When did you have surgery?
Weeks later.
Tacos and ice cream first.
Well, there really wasn't much you could do. They just, you know, I mean, it was just not in the right part of my face anymore.
That is correct.
I have
your actual nose?
Yeah. I have the x-rays and pictures if you need them for the podcast. But yeah, no, so.
We can 100% put that on our website.
If I still need to track down, there's this beautiful picture, and I regret very strongly not trying to reach out sooner to the photographer of that event, of me having the world's largest amount of toilet tissue and tampons stuck into my face, hugging you at the end of that game. And that was a very special moment.
It really was. I really wish that. Because I saw that picture for like a brief moment, and I was just like, oh, it was like the picture with Pez that I took this season. Like, mm-hmm. you just get those couple of really great moments captured so perfectly that it's just like.
It's not just the image. It's the emotion that's in it as well, and the memory and the warm and fuzzies.
Yeah. And it was the culmination of a lot of physical hard work that all of us did.
Yeah.
In an image of, oh. That lady's face, though.
Yeah, that was the same tournament where the guy threw a chair and busted out the glass in the...
No, he did not throw a chair. He slammed. He punched it.
Oh, he punched it. That's right. He punched the
glass at like a hockey arena.
Yeah.
So he was a coach on one of the team, you know, one of the teams that was on the track, and he was... angry, and he punched the glass, and it shattered all over the ground, and they had to stop the tournament and clean it up because somebody couldn't keep their emotions in check.
Yeah, it was such a douche move.
Like, it was because it just it also delayed our game for like 35 minutes.
Oh, easy. Yeah. So we were like cool at that point. First of all, second of all, they still didn't get all the glass up. Like they you'd find little tiny teeny pieces, just because it wasn't the fact that it's not tempered glass. Like as a building person, like it do not understand that
for a hockey arena.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just shattered.
It shattered. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's
it was a B team tournament.
It was a fun tournament. However,
but it was like
double elimination, which made made the challenge even more intense.
But you know what? From that I've brought every game we play is only one game. It's only one consecutive game because we played two consecutive games.
For 2 days.
Four halves in a row. Uh-huh.
Yep.
And if we had won that last game, we would have had to play two more halves before long. And we were so happy to lose.
If there was any sort of realm of possibility of us winning, which we were all dropping like flies in the second half of that game, but we would have had to play four consecutive games that day.
No, thank you. Please.
Which was
I know what I think that was the happiest I've ever been to see my team lose.
You guys did great.
Awesome. You guys are so exhausted.
Yeah, no,
back to back was that's rough.
Most of us were skaters. So that level of endurance just wasn't present in our lives.
We ended up coming in third out of six. I will take it.
We did well.
We did great.
We did extremely well for most of us had never played like a tournament before in our lives.
I don't know if any of us had.
Yeah, we had not played a tournament ever in our lives. And we were the most plucky group to just show up in our bright pink uniforms. And put
was that
on
a pinkier?
We were very pink.
Our
colors were not blush and bath troll.
They were pink, pink. Pink and neon pink.
They were so pink. Beautiful. Absolutely
but
stunning.
Speaking of tournaments,
we all were
at the Battle of the All-Stars tournament that happened this year in Scranton.
Scranton,
Pennsylvania.
Scranton, Pennsylvania.
All the places. Yeah, and that was a really fun tournament. That was the most competitive derby I had ever played. And the team playing on Team Connecticut was really amazing, and getting to sort of have the taste of that more that more fire and you know, we're lucky in this area. We have a lot of leagues available to play against, but it's not so often you get to play someone from across the country, from California, or see a friend who moved to Colorado and watch them kick ass on their team.
Oh my God,
you know,
so good too.
Yeah,
so good. Yeah.
So it was a good tournament overall.
Yeah, it was a good tournament, and it was the first time I had ever seen a borderless team play.
Oh yeah, I don't know if I had seen them play before either, but it was. I wanted to, and I actually told my mom and my mom's husband about the team, and they came down to Scranton to watch me play. But I told them like, you need to wait, make sure that you watch this team play because you'll enjoy
it.
Yeah,
and I think it was the Black Diaspora and Team Indigenous was there.
Correct? Yep, we had two
Indigenous Rising.
Team Indigenous Rising.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I didn't get to see Team Indigenous play at the tournament. But
they were always at the opposite.
Yeah, they were on track B. We Bill and I watched them play.
Did you?
Against, oh gosh. If I don't recall, if memory serves, I think it might have been either North or South Carolina, but I could be super mega wrong because memories are hard.
Memories are very hard.
So my apologies to the incorrectness of that statement.
Wear a helmet.
Yeah, wear a helmet. Or also maybe don't drive from your stepmom being done with being on life support
to
go to a tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was tough.
But that'll rough.
Yeah. She's fine. She's totally fine.
Yay.
Yay. It was just a really bad situation, but she's super fine now.
That's awesome. Thank God.
Yes.
That is,
happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
That's a roller coaster.
Oh, yeah. No, the Borderless teams were by far just stunning to watch this
they
year.
Really were. They really were.
There was just so much power in Team Black Diaspora. And I mean, as a person of color, because podcasters can't see that I'm not.
Okay, podcasters.
I am not white. I am mixed black and white. And to see a team full of people who identify like me in a sport that tends to not identify like me was really, really powerful. It was really awesome to see.
Yeah.
And they kicked ass. And
what I find so interesting about like the Borderless teams is a lot of those skaters on those teams also play for other leagues mm-hmm. and other teams. Mm-hmm. So, and I know that like when I'm a guest skater or I have different skaters helping out my league or my team during different games, if we're running short, like it always feels a little bit disjointed mm-hmm. because you've never played with them before mm-hmm. and you've got this, you know, the synergy might not be completely 100%, but you see these different people from all over the world, all over the country coming together and playing together. Playing like that. It was just like,
That was amazing. That was
so good.
Oh,
I fell in love. Yeah. I fell in love with Black Diaspora. It was like, and Carnage can attest, but I was like, these are the games that I want to watch. And it's like almost every single one of them was the Black Diaspora.
It was wonderful.
They were like electric to watch. It was the way that they played together, just the energy that they had, they were stunning to genuinely watch play together. It was some of the best team play I've seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of teams you watch, like, yes, there's a lot of talent, but like there's something really special when you watch people who play together and play together well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, agreed.
And
yeah.
To have that, as you said, Carnage, with them being from all over the country is really, you know, remarkable.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, and back in the day, like back in our early days of us playing, like there were no, at least I wasn't aware of any Borderless teams.
No.
Like this is a newer
I do not concept. Know. I don't know when they began. We'll have to ask Professor Slice.
Professor Slice?
Professor Slice may not know at this moment, but you know.
Professor Slice through the, Professor through Slice. The magic of editing.
yeah, I'm right not sure, but I don't remember. Years. I do not remember them being around. They're certainly not in 2012, but I might be proven wrong immediately.
Yeah. Well, at least we didn't. I didn't really hear about.
Oh, that no. Sort of thing. No, I didn't hear about it until very recently.
I heard about it during the 2019 champs because I believe that there was a game
with
some Borderless teams. I think it was Jewish Roller Derby.
Yes.
And I think Team Indigenous Rising.
Yes.
Yeah.
If memory serves again.
Yeah.
But yeah, that sounds pretty correct.
Yeah. I know that they had Borderless teams there playing, mm-hmm. which it was like the first bout in the morning. I did not get to it.
It was a good game.
Yeah. I'll have to watch it.
Yeah.
It was
2019. Magical year for Derby.
Yeah, and next year we actually get champs again.
Yay.
I'm so excited. I've decided it doesn't matter where they are, I have to go.
I hope.
I have to go.
I'm gonna have to hope that they're in driving distance, but I will
very much hope so.
Yeah. That'll.
I cannot immediately find anything on when the first Borderless team was.
Okay.
But let's we'll come back to it in one form or another. Maybe, and I will make sure that people know what the answer to that question is.
Yeah, maybe
we'll
they'll
have an official
be
review next.
We will have an official review.
Yay.
And
I'd love that.
Perfect.
I'd love that for us.
Yeah. Cause it actually might include reaching out to certain people that we've already talked to.
Yeah.
Who might just know much better than we do.
Yeah. And that's why we have people on the podcast. So we learn all the things from different points of view. And it's so wonderful. And I
And yeah. then we can continue that conversation.
Yeah, and that's one of the things about Derby is that it does bring a lot of different types of people together, and sometimes it could be the first time that people are being with people who are not like them. And that's for me, living in Connecticut in a very diverse town, I grew up in a very diverse town and from a mixed family, I didn't get that. But when I went to college, there are some people who had not seen people not like them and didn't have had an imaginary opinion of what a black person was like. I'm like, you're a little, all right.
Yeah.
All right. And that's weird. I mean, right now it's weird, but, you know.
It wasn't perceived as weird.
Yeah.
In your college days.
Oh, gosh, no.
Yeah. This is, I mean, but I think, again, it just speaks to what Derby offers people. And it's just a place where you can have your family and your community here.
Absolutely. And I think that's the impetus behind these borderless teams is to have that community that gets it, that is a safe place for you, that you don't have to worry about, microaggressions or outright aggression or outright racism or issues of that nature. Typically you don't have to deal with things like that. But having borderless teams allows for community. And what is roller derby for if not community?
Exactly. And all it does is just grow the sport.
Yeah, absolutely.
To make people feel more included.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going to see people like them skating and then they're going to want to skate. And they're going to play. And it's only going to do good things for the sport.
It's only going to make it better. I mean, I was listening to your podcast earlier today in the episode where you were talking about the first black roller derby skater coming in, what was it, 1958. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, think about however many years roller derby was existing. They didn't even have half the population to invent things and to innovate and make things different and to make the sport amazing. And we're seeing that now, I think.
Absolutely. And for me, what kind of strikes me as like, where did the disconnect happen? Because roller skating in general is very big in black culture.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Dance skating was...
Jam skating, absolutely. Jam skating was
invented.
Yep, roller discos.
So you have all these amazing skaters out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm like, why are you guys not playing roller derby? I get it. Some people don't want to be aggressive on skates, and dancing is their thing. And that's cool, too. But, like, from what I see... on the outside, it just seems like it's such a big thing.
I think it translates pretty well, particularly for people who play sports,
right?
When they're kids growing up, for people who had, I mean, did anything with their body. Like I danced for 15 plus years, and I think about dance when I'm doing derby sometimes, or when I'm doing making up drills for practice or practicing my form. I think about dance, and I think about how the track there's a choreography that's happening, and you're it's like an improv dance that you're doing with your team and against another team, and it's just really ethereal and beautiful.
Oh, that's a really pretty way to put it.
Is that why we play well together?
That's why we play well together. I gotta shout out our 2019 Whalers, Hartford Whalers. That particular year was my first year on the Whalers. I was previously on the Bedrockers. Mm-hmm. And we had some amazing skaters from around the country who had all been transplanted into our little area. And we were the best little team that there was, and we played hard, and we played very well together in that sort of choreography and oneness on the track, really.
Yeah, yeah, it showed. Phenomenal year. Gosh, like if I could magic wand, I would make that happen again.
Yeah, and it is great when you get like these clandestine things that just happen and bring people together, and then you can skate with them. I feel that about our team coming into the season for sure. It's just a lot of things.
We have a lot of good vibes.
Yeah. There's a lot of good vibes.
And I hope everybody finds at least one person that they just jive so well with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're basically doing choreography.
Yeah.
On the track. I definitely have my person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to Sassy Lassie.
Yeah. Yeah. And it helps make you feel better as a teammate as well.
Right. Yeah. Mm. There's a beautiful thing about being on the same wavelength as somebody, you know, getting hit and pushed and stuff. But
that's how I was with Saint when Saint and I skated together. Mm-hmm. Saint Misbehavin'. Yeah, like when we skated together, it was just like it was like my favorite thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
I miss that.
Yeah.
I also coached skating too. Well together too.
What's that?
You also coached well together.
We did.
I missed that year that the three of us, you, me and Saint, were the leadership the leadership of the Bedrockers. That was
a good year.
That was a good year. That was a fun year.
That was the year that I met my husband.
Ooh, shout out to
Matt. We praise Matt every
What's
Matt.
His praise what me. Was his
Muffnets.
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 I don't know if you've gotten to that yet. Have you?
I haven't gotten to that episode yet.
Yeah.
No.
So we're gonna make shirts.
I will get there.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
Jay is Sugar Tits.
Yes. Yeah. Mr. Sugar Tits.
Mr. Muff Nuts. Muff Nuts and Sugar Tits, eh?
Muff Nuts and Sugar Tits.
All right.
Yeah. I don't know. It was anyway. That's a thing.
Yeah. I'm not one to judge.
So actually when I talked to you when we were at BODIS, you had mentioned that you had just come from your black skater family group.
Oh yeah, yeah. So there is, for anyone who identifies as being partially black people of color, there are these Facebook groups out there that will connect you with people from around the country. And the Black Roller Derby Network is a group that I joined back, I don't even remember when, probably 2013 when I heard about it. Usually whenever a new black skater starts, like you find them and you let them know and you make sure they know.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, because it is a very white space. And when you're in whiteness, when you are whiteness, you don't necessarily recognize whiteness all around you,
right.
But you recognize otherness. And the otherness comes with perceptions. You know, perceiving an other has perceptions attached to it. Mm-hmm. So there are stereotypes, sure, and there's racism, but like beyond that type of thing, there are some things that are just completely unconscious that happen. That people will see us differently, for no fault of our own.
Right.
It's real weird.
Yeah.
For just existing.
For existing. Or like, wearing a jersey that is blue and being referred to as black number instead of blue number when you're in a game. So it's like, well, that's, you know, that's not how you do it. You don't say the color of the person's skin and the number on the jersey. You say the color on the jersey and the number on the jersey. So some things like that, they're not fun. And some perceptions of power and aggression and this all that derby really empowers, I think, in women, being able to do our own thing, being able to overcome so much, to work together, to show strength and power. And a lot of the times when that is coming from a black body, it is perceived somehow as more dangerous as opposed to simply aggressive. It's a really unfortunate dichotomy, and there's a difference between aggression and like being unsafe in roller derby.
Right.
Oh, and of course. Yeah. It's really on every individual, I think, to understand their own internalized race stuff to make sure that they're not contributing to it and accidentally, you know, making it worse. I don't know, but yeah, having a safe space, having a place where other skaters know what's going on, they have the same kind of interactions, they experience the same microaggressions, and it speak up for each other. Whereas if somebody was experiencing a microaggression, maybe a white skater in their league isn't necessarily standing up and saying, hey, that's kind of bullshit. Like,
right.
And when we are able to be together and whenever we're in a space that's particularly white, it's really nice to come together and show up and say, like, we are here and we are existing and we are doing this and we're doing it together. And so the family photo is a tradition from tournaments. And there might have been a rule of anytime there's three or more skaters because, imagine if it were really difficult to get three white skaters together.
Yeah.
In a room.
Right. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard for me to imagine that.
Yeah. Imagine that. Sure. That's bonkers.
Yeah.
But, you know, we had a rookie class come in just this past Sunday, and there were four black skaters and skaters of other BIPOC skaters. And I'm like, this is awesome.
That's like, so great.
The nation of the wheel is expanding. It is expanding and becoming more inclusive. And yes. I do love that. But you don't feel it everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm fortunate being in New England. We have a quiet kind of racism around here that people keep in their back pockets, and are polite on the outside for the most part, if we're around. Sometimes. Maybe.
Maybe.
Sometimes. Woo!
Yay!
Yay, America.
Oh, America.
It's incredibly sad thinking about how much that I love derby and that it's such a safe space for me. Mm-hmm. Like somebody in the same position with the same feelings, having that bubble completely popped, you know, for the first time, because it happens a lot, that where it's like your safe space has now been
tainted.
And that's just very sad to me.
Yeah, it is. And I think that I've seen derby burn, like the burnout of derby happen that way, where it's just like, oh shit, my safe space is now not so safe, or I don't feel safe because of this one incident or what have you. And then,
or if there's microaggressions going on, I can imagine that people
leave.
They leave because it's not their responsibility to teach everybody right. what Heck those no. aggressions are.
No, not at all. And it's not anybody's job to take that shit. Like right, right. Derby is supposed to be fun. Mm-hmm. And if you can't, I don't understand what makes a person make that worse for somebody, like want to take that away from somebody or qualify it. I don't know. I'm not a fan. Not a fan of the racism.
Yeah. No, I'm not a fan of the racism.
Same. No.
All in favor? All opposed?
All opposed.
All opposed. Nay. Awesome.
Nay. Throw that straight in the trash.
Straight in the trash.
Throw it into the sun.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, launch it. Where is it? A cabochet? No.
A
trebuchet. Cabernet into the
this
sun.
Isn't a cabernet. It's a Chardonnay.
It's a Chardonnay.
Cabernet.
It is a free Chardonnay.
It was for free. It tastes like it was free.
I was not going to say that because I did not bring the wine. But after going through the Long Island wine tour and then...
It tastes free.
This tastes very free.
I have no standards, so I drank it because it was wet and I was thirsty.
Also,
there you go. There it is.
Also, I'm not genuinely besmirching the free wine.
Indeed.
Oh, no, we're definitely wine. Drinking it. We're not.
I'm going to enjoy it.
Yes.
But I'm going to drink it. I don't
shout
know
out to Cerebral
it.
Vortex.
Yes. Thanks. Thank you, Vortex, for cleaning out your entire home. We will miss you because you're moving to Austin, Texas.
So, so sad.
And we are hot.
Oh, yeah. Ugh.
Yeah.
No offense to anybody who lives in Austin, Texas, but I am a ginger, and it's like, I hear heat.
Oh, yeah. You and the sun.
Me and the sun don't get along. I still have the ombre effects on my legs from when I got sunburnt, like, a month and a half ago, when it was just, like, only half of my leg was sitting in the sun outside of the shade, and I have, like, farmer's tan on the middle of my legs. So, yeah, I hear Texas, and I go, no.
So... Speaking of burnout.
Oh, we're speaking.
Burnout.
I feel like this topic has come up a lot in my orbit in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of people's seasons are coming to an end. And
yeah, it's like it seems like it's going to be quick approaching the end, but it's like, oh no, it's another month away. It's like I give up.
There really, I feel like, is there a unified derby season?
I was just saying that the other day. I was like, why is there, should be a unified
because,
season.
Yeah. Because really, we're practicing year round. Yeah. We're playing year round. We're training year round. And in order to stay good, you've got to be doing things with your body year round.
Right. For sure.
But that's a long time. Yeah. That's all the time.
Yeah. Do you mean that everything all the time always is just everything all the time always?
Everything all the time always is sometimes just too much.
Yeah, for sure.
I can, on the other side of that, though, I can see in some areas that that play the games outside where having a set universal season might not work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It all depends on where your venue is and absolutely. What you have available.
Right. Yeah.
So your season is dictated by that.
That's true.
By your venue.
But I do feel like all New England or Northeastern teams should get together, just figure something out, and just play games at a certain time.
March to September.
Yeah. Or like something. February to June or something like that, where all the, or I don't know, like keep it. Okay, well. Well, guess what? I scheduled March to September and I'm still dealing with people saying that they're burned out. So
I think it's just the last month. And it's once you cross the threshold, at least for me, is like now my kid's in school. Mm. So the amount of things that I have to do has like doubled. And so now I have my body has hurt from the entire season. And now I have more things I need to do to like not including Derby. Mm-hmm. So I can see like how people, especially parents.
Oh, yeah, for
would
sure.
Get burnt out very fast if trying to get through one more month.
Especially if there's the taste of summer vacation. Oh. Like if there's a taste of break from roller derby practice for a couple of weeks, it's like it can be tasty if you're if you're burnt out and and looking for some relief and haven't been able to space out your energy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or be a complete and total energy vampire and just wait for recruitment to happen for all of that positive, great energy you just suck out of all the new recruits of like, you're not broken.
You mean that's not just me? That's not just us?
No, oh, it is good. Me. Recruitment is my absolute favorite.
They have all of the joy excitement.
They're cartilage. So
excited. You get to watch them ask you a thousand questions about wheels, and you're like, friend, we're just trying to learn stop and go right now.
Right.
But I love your
enthusiasm. However, I will talk to you about wheels for as much time as
absolutely.
You
absolutely. I want your questions.
Yeah.
I want your questions about wheels. I want all of that new energy and excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was actually, I reached out to my, the BRDN, the Black Roller Derby Network, to get information about helmets that fit locks and braids because one of our rookie skaters has these gorgeous red and black braids or twists, and they're so nice. And we had loaner helmets, and the loaner helmets were not going to cut it. Yeah. They just weren't going to fit it. So having a network of skaters to reach out to and say like, hey, what do I use?
Yes.
That's
Were you able to figure it out? I would love to know if there is like, is there a brand where people who do have locks and braids can check out?
A specific brand, I don't know, or like a brand specifically for that, I highly doubt it because Derby's so white that I doubt there is Derby specific. It's it's kind of niche at this point because Derby's so white.
But man, wouldn't it be great if
that did exist. Yeah, and I only posted it in the group today to get recommendations. And I know that 888 has some 2XL hat helmets. One skater recommended that. And I haven't seen what other recommendations there are, but you know, if you have lots of hair to put in there, 888,
2XL. Yeah, there's gotta be tons of people with tons of hair.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. I mean, even if you have dreadlocks or, you know, like, you know, you might just need that accommodation.
Yeah, or you just have a large head. Some people have a noggin. Some people just have a noggin. Some people just have
really big heads, okay?
Some people are just like Amazon goddesses and are, you know, larger than my head is.
I've got a tiny biscuit head.
You have the littlest head.
But it is in proportion to yourself.
I can be crushed.
Yes,
you could be crushed.
Please wear a very durable helmet.
I do. Since the time in which my face got broken during a tournament, I switched to a hockey helmet that snugly fits my skull
and has a visor
and has a variety of different visors that are available. That's why I like the hockey helmets a little bit more. You get more visor variety.
Ooh.
Things that could are considerably more adjustable or size differences or cut differences. So if you have a nose that your doctor said if you smash again will require very expensive rhinoplasty, there you go. Options are available to you.
When you're saying options, I was thinking, oh, what colors?
Colors are also a thing.
Oh, okay. All right. As long as there's colors.
Yeah. Some of them are shiny.
Some of them are mirrored shiny, which are not allowed in sanctioned play.
Oh, they're not?
No.
Damn it.
They're not.
Regulation
play, I believe.
Diamonds. Mm. Didn't she wear a visor that was like...
I don't remember if her visor was
like, maybe the rules have changed in which case then I'll be very
I thought
excited.
It was like
but it out, wasn't WIFTA to sanctioned. If it's a sanctioning rule and a WIFTA rule, then anything that's not a WIFTA tournament.
Exactly.
You know, it
looks really cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
You know.
But I would also, as a ref, want to see if somebody got hit really hard to be able to see their eyes.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, in the noggin.
I want to be full RoboCop.
As a skater, I want to be able to see my other skaters' eyes.
Yeah, for like, sure.
If that I weren't able true. To, also, if I weren't able to see the eyes of the opponents, I really do feel like that would be a bit of a disadvantage.
Or disconnect.
Yeah. That's real weird. Oh, man. What if we had a jam of derby? Everybody had mirror advisor. You can't see anybody's eyes.
You wouldn't be able to tell where your jammer's going.
Oh, my goodness.
Eyes. Are we talking about Tron?
I was supposed to say.
Derby yes. Tron.
We are now talking about Tron.
Derby Tron.
Oh, they should have done that in the 90s. They could have just added it to the other bad shows.
All the other bad shows. Yeah. Oh. So, yeah. So, how do you feel, like, what do you... You've been playing derby a long time.
Yes.
Almost 10 years. Well, almost. 9 years. Yeah.
Yeah, 9 years now.
9 years. How... And Karma, you've been playing for 11.
Yep. Yes. So 11 and a half.
And if, unless I am mistaken, neither of you, Karma, did you take a small LOA at one point?
Not the only times that I wasn't skating was recovering from an injury. Yep. So,
but you're still involved with the league.
Yeah, I never took a leave. No.
So, and I don't think
Gory did either.
No, you were there and you were there.
Consecutive.
I'm always there. She's there right now.
Always.
Right behind you.
And you know, I've been doing this on and off, mostly on for the better part of 12 years now. And like, how do you both approach burnout? Because it is a thing that happens for sure, and I'm certain has happened to both of you at some point during the last better part of a decade.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have rules. Mm-hmm. My rules are, I have to keep having fun. Every day doesn't have to be perfect. Every game doesn't have to be perfect. Every moment doesn't have to be perfect. There could be good seasons and less than good seasons. But by and large, I assess, am I having fun?
Yeah.
And I'm still having fun.
Right.
So I keep doing it. Right. Mm-hmm. So, but there's also got to be other things. And by and large, like, I am largely obsessed with this sport. Like, you're going to have to carry me out on a stretcher, but I have to have other things in my life too, to kind of break up the monotony. So I make sure to have things that are still me time and important things for me, or important events mm-hmm. for me that are outside of derby. I don't really have a lot of social life out of derby. That is not what I am talking about. But I very much enjoy like trail running, which is like another way to use my body that belongs to me in a way that is for me. It's a really meditative practice. I can get entirely out of my skull, and I just blend into the scenery and just keep moving. And doing that a couple times a week, or right now I'm really busy with work, so maybe once a week, really helps recenter my focuses and reminds me that I've done something for me and not just for me and my team, my league, my station, wherever I'm at. I also enjoy knitting.
You are a fabulous knitter.
I make things.
You make butt birds.
I am right now attempting to make a child sweater. And it definitely will be a child sweater. It will
Success.
Function as
it, yeah, a child sweater. Yeah, it looks like a child sweater.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, all the parts work. unfortunately, the pattern was kind of not the best written pattern, and there was a space missing in the picture part, because I like to knit with, I do a lot of color work as a knitter, and for those of you out there who enjoy knitting will know color work and its tedium and beauty, right? I love tedium. It's my favorite.
Yes.
I accidentally made conjoined birds.
At the butt.
They are conjoined straight at the ass. This is the most upsetting bird centipede of your life. It's for a child.
It's for a child. Also to note.
Baby Flooby.
Baby Flooby.
Shout out to Flooby.
So what about you, Karma? How do you feel about how have you handled burnout over the years?
When I started out, I was pretty careful to only take on as much as I at the time could handle. So I started skating in 2012. I was on the B team for 7 years, which yes. is a lot of years. And I mean,
yeah, I was shocked when you went up to the Whalers.
Years were you a captain?
I was a captain all but the first partial season, I think.
Long time to be captain.
So yeah, all of those years. But that was a place that I felt comfortable because I was able to play the sport. I was able to have fun and I was able to do some teaching and coaching and shepherding of new skaters. And that's something that I gained a lot of joy from without necessarily having some negativity or extra stress or, you know, just sort of keeping my own mental health in mind and keeping the environment that I need around me mm-hmm. and sort of trying to maintain the environment around me. So, yeah. So staying on the B team for 7 years was part of how I stayed, like part of my longevity, because I do think if I went hard and fast, I would have burnt out quickly and then I would not want to be part of the sport at all. Yeah. I would have put myself in positions that would have been negative for me or my mental health. And that's not what Derby's for. Yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I'm huge. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I'm huge on boundaries.
Yeah.
That's what keeps me from, you know, I've only been playing now 2 years. And I mean, I've done a lot.
Yeah.
Again, it's a never ending season. And that's it has taken up a lot of my life in 2 years. But I do keep boundaries because balance is like overall the most important thing when it comes to my life. Because like it is for your own mental health, you have to have a good balance.
Yeah, you gotta put that space for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Which, I mean, Derby, a lot of Derby is for me. It yeah. is my safe space. It is my happy place. But, you know, just like, you know, not all of me is mom. Not all of me is Derby. Not all of me is mm-hmm. a worker. Like, I can't make one thing all about.
Right.
My whole existence.
Right. And different times in life and different times in the year will require different things from you. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the things that also helps prevent Derby burnout is having league members and team members who are willing to help and do things with you and are part of the team and are part of the community. Mm-hmm. It's only the Derby only happens because Derby people make it happen.
Right.
And the more of us there are, the less we have to do theoretically.
Right.
So it lightens the load for everybody and it spreads the knowledge around and it makes people more engaged and more invested.
I agree. And I think, you know, this is kind of the theme that we've been focusing on for several weeks now. Is just getting people involved in Derby and the fact that you don't have to be a skater. You could do other things. You can volunteer. You can NSO. I mean, we mm-hmm. actually have someone in our league who was NSOing, but then she took a step back from NSOing, but she still helps out at our bouts. Mm. And like, that's huge for us.
That's
like,
amazing.
Hey, just you're spending your afternoon like Tara, who helps us take our tickets and do all that stuff. And
that stuff is truly so wonderful.
And like the partners that skaters have that help out.
Yes.
Derby Widows.
Thank you very much, volunteers, all the time, always.
All the volunteers, all the time.
All the time, always. We are endlessly
thankful. We actually have a couple of people who had joined recently simply to NSO. They want to be part of the community, want to like get to know the game, and we want you. We want them to be part of it. We just want to share this sport with everybody.
It's absolutely not a cult. It's not at all.
No, see, no. I was listening to the podcast. Was I in a cult?
Did we say it was a cult?
No.
There is a podcast called Was I in a Cult?
Exactly. Oh, yeah, I was listening to it, and there were a bunch of like characteristics that you need in order to be a cult. And one of them, and it was sort of the like pivotal, most important one, was a central charismatic leader. Mm. And we don't have that. No. So we're never not a cult.
We are exactly.
So yeah, like get all of Derby to rally behind one human.
No,
never. There will be a revolt.
There, you know, that's the thing about Derby is that you have a lot of very strong. Very strong personalities. Mm-hmm.
And Derby at its core is punk rock.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
You know, so at its very core.
So how I've dealt with burnout in my career as in Derby is I am not like you, Karma. I don't take the slow and steady nice turtle way. I go hair. I go straight fuck rabbit on that thing.
Get out of here.
I know.
It's not you. You would never.
Nope. 0 to 60?
0 to 60. I'm like, and I actually was thinking about this a lot today because I was thinking about like when I first started playing Derby, when I first joined Derby at Hard, like I was 30 and I had
30, flirty, and ready for fun.
Oh, I was. I was a very different person back then, but that's okay. I've grown. But I remember, like, I didn't have all the things that I have in my life now. Like, I just started doing pottery, so like that was a thing that I did, but like, I didn't have a community and I didn't have the thing that I most identified with. So when I found it, I was just like, oh my God, I love it. I love it. Everything about it. Do you need help? Oh, you need volunteers? Oh, I can volunteer. What do you need me to volunteer for? I can volunteer. Okay, I got that. No problem. I'll do this too. And then here, and that happened within the course of 3 months. And I became head of skater relations, which is vice president of the league, within 9 months.
I'm going to need you to do some math right now. How many arms do you have?
I have 2.
Is that enough arms for that?
Yes.
Are you sure?
No, I don't know. let's count again.
So it was a lot, and I really threw myself into it, and then I got injured because my body was like, oh, fuck you for going that hard for so long. You are going to stop now. And then injury and then coaching. And then eventually I just burned out because I went hard for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I needed a break. And I took a break and I did my 2 years. And then I came back because I was like, this is what I need.
Yeah. That's different ways of, it's like different ways of running or different ways of doing a jam, different ways of looking at a jam.
Yeah.
You know, are you, and even within a jam, you're not always doing the same thing. Sometimes you're going to push hard in one area. Yep. Sometimes you're going to move quickly back and forth. And sometimes it's a combination and you do what you have to do
Yeah.
for yourself and for your team.
Yeah.
And for some balance between the two.
Yeah. I had tipped the scales too hard. Mm-hmm. So when I considered going back to Derby, like my husband and I talked about it and he's like, we have to make an agreement. You will not take a board position. I said, I promise, honey, I will not take a board position.
Why are you laughing? Why is everybody laughing? Wait, everyone's laughing. Why? Carnage, yeah, because, why are we laughing?
Yes, because I am on the board. And I have been for a year.
No. I'm literally not allowed to leave because you told me I'm not allowed to leave.
I know. We're in this together. Yeah, I mean, but that came after. So the first year I did play, like I did have, it was just like you said, like I had a different perspective going back into it. Mm. There were reasons why I wanted to go back into it because, as I've mentioned before, like it saved my soul and I needed it to save it again. And it did. And I had to make sure that I was doing it for the right reasons. And my husband really was integral in that. He's like, no, you have to make sure that this is like, you have to keep some boundaries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, absolutely right. And I did. Yeah. And I did. And I know that I'm on the board now, but that was like a boundary that I...
And we totally have a roller derby podcast. And we've all infiltrated your living room right now. Yeah. Talking about roller derby. And then before that, we folded shirts.
For merch.
The merch for roller derby. You're doing great.
Going out on box.
It is my life. He understands that. He is very wonderful about it.
But again, what's my first rule? Am I having fun?
Am I having fun? And I mean, am I having fun right now? This is the most fun I've had in a very long time.
There you go. Yeah.
And I think the things that you do for you.
Yeah.
Now.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Versus like before it was, you were very focused on being the helper person, yeah, to help out for the team, whereas like now you're going in it with a more this is for me,
yeah,
space.
Yeah, and it is, and I give a lot of myself, and I know I give a lot of myself, and sometimes I give too much, and then I'll be like, hey everybody, peace out, I'm gonna turn y'all off for like 2 weeks and I'll see you later. And I do that, like I will be like, I can't handle anything in this conversation for a whole week. Like, I'm going to step out of this. Mm-hmm. If it's an emergency, you know how to reach me, but I'm muting this conversation for a week. And so I do give myself like vacations of sorts. Mm-hmm. From, I'm like, no derby. I am not talking about derby right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to read my book. I'm going to work on some pots. Mm-hmm. I call it a day.
But I think that derby gives you the strength and like the power to do that for yourself, or at least, yeah, with me, like that's to do that as opposed to simply run myself ragged, mm-hmm, for whomever, however, would have been completely outside of my mind. But having all of these self-empowered women, yeah, who are, and non-binary people who are doing so many awesome things and being themselves and being weirdos in the wild, just being, you know.
All
they
weirdos.
All looked at me. Every single one of them looked at me.
This is true.
No.
They're not incorrect.
No, I just have. All. No, I. Yes, if I were to ever have a podcast, it would be called Weirdos in the Wild, and I would follow derby people around specifically.
That's kind of perhaps, what our plan is to,
yeah,
do.
Yeah, well, perhaps you could have a consultant or a...
you could be our correspondent.
Correspondent on the spot.
Field correspondent.
I love that.
We're checking in now with our field correspondent, Karma. Karma, show us your weirdo in the wild.
I'm Karma Kazi Killer. I really actually truly love that, and it's going to happen.
Love that.
We'll have to do once, because we're going to start doing like videos and stuff. We, yeah, can actually do videos of weirdos in the wild.
I'm Karma Kazi Killer, and I'm here with Gory Kilmore. Gory, why do you knit?
Because I'm the original weirdo in the wild. And if my hands aren't busy, I'm going to be real weird.
Yeah,
Can attest. Have seen it.
Yeah. Yep.
It's mostly just jazz hands. It's not being weird at, like, touchy to the others, but it's the jazz hands.
Jazz hands, but
I like
if
how
you
you're
give
both
her...
making jazz hands as if people can
no,
see.
No, but however, if you give her too much caffeine, then she gets the strangle hands.
Oh, yeah. Itchy but brain plus
itchy
strangle
brain
hands.
Plus strangle hands.
Yeah, itchy brain plus strangle.
One of the questions, or one of the things that I feel comes with burnout is pretty complicated emotions, though, because you know you love this sport, but if you talk about this sport one more fucking time, you're going to lose your shit. But then also, it's all you ever talk about, so yeah. What do you go?
Oh, do you know what to do at parties where everybody isn't a derby person?
No.
I really don't understand what to do.
I don't either.
I'm just like, so yeah.
I thought you had a suggestion.
I have that.
No, the funny thing is I actually can't remember a party I've gone to in recent memory that isn't a derby related party.
Pants, yeah.
Pants. Hey, so do you have pants?
I have pants, but they're short pants.
I too have pants.
That's great. Gory, do you have pets?
Right now?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, I do actually have pants right
That's
now.
That's fantastic. Karma.
They have slippers.
Mine are cuffed.
I try not to wear pants if I don't have to.
Same.
I absolutely hate pants. If we're on the topic of pants,
yeah. Oh,
I hate pants.
3 out of 10, do not recommend.
God. I'm not sorry, but I mean, you had to expect that this was going to happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, now we know.
About pants.
About what to talk about when you're at a party with non-derby people.
I've yet to encounter. Yeah. Most of the time, like, I end up talking about or promoting derby when I'm at, like, a non-derby thing. And
yeah.
On the plus side, I was really fortunate this year to go to some not-derby parties, and they ended up coming to games. And
that's awesome.
Really nice. Enjoying themselves and being like, oh, wow. So that's what you were talking about. It looked really confusing, but I enjoyed watching you try.
That is a very common response.
That's a really good response. It's like universal.
Yeah. I actually, because I'm the same way, and when I get into like either family functions, I'm always talking about derby, whether I'm talking about derby or not. And especially now with the podcast, literally everything I talk about has some tie into derby. Yeah,
it's either actual derby or have you heard my podcast?
Oh my God, we're at 2,500 downloads. Have you heard?
I'm so proud of you.
I am too. That's
both
amazing.
Of you.
Thanks.
Yay. Would be for all. That's all of you. For all of you.
I mean, we're definitely not downloading it 2,500 times.
Nope. So
I had to
thank everybody.
Edit that. I didn't want to listen to it again.
But a lot. In addition to the complicated feeling of not wanting to do this, but it feels very conflicting a lot of the time because you don't necessarily want to go away from the sport, but you can't handle anything that has to do with it. And I just find it fascinating. I find burnout in general very fascinating.
I don't know.
It's awful.
Yeah.
It sucks. It's a terrible place to be, but it's like...
Well, it's the difference between sprinting and stopping, sprinting and stopping, sprinting and stopping, or running at a reasonable pace. You know, just sort of at a leisurely pace.
Yeah.
And neither is wrong.
Yeah.
Neither is right. You just have to balance.
I guess we just have to like always ask ourselves, why do we keep doing this? Right. And I can tell you every single time it's because I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's the first answer. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not even just that it gives me joy or that I love my community or that I'm proud of the accomplishments or I am excited to see where this sport goes because it moves so far every single year. Mm-hmm. The sport is completely different every year. You have to adapt and change and do a different thing. And like, no matter what you've learned or how good you've gotten, there's more to do, right? Every day I get up and I ask myself, do I like this? No, I love this.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. That's the difference, right? Like, and it's a tough thing. Like, Carmen and I are a bit of anomalies, and I think you, mm-hmm. in your own right, too, like, we're here because we love it, but we're here so long because we love it. Mm-hmm. And it's super okay for folks to walk away after some time, because, like, it's rare to have somebody love this as much as we do for as long as we do. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I do. Like, I, again, you're going to have to carry me away and put me down at some point.
Well, yeah. I mean, you find ways to let Derby fill your cup.
Yeah, exactly.
And it might be through taking a step back in some other places. For instance, right. I took a step back off of the board a couple years. Yep. And just really focused on play and being part of the team. And it helped me be able to balance things a little bit better by sort of finding the parts that gave me joy and diving into those.
Yeah. I think in that aspect too, it's okay to change up board positions. Mm-hmm. It's, I agree. I said this before and then I got yelled at. But it was like, it's
so awful.
Like, I was saying the idea of, like, you know, if I walked away from the position that I was in, I would be happy to give that job to somebody else.
Yeah.
To take on that responsibility.
Sure.
For the next year. So, you know, share the load, like spread. You know,
oh yeah,
and that will also decrease burnout too. Like, you don't have to be the president of your league every year.
No,
you don't have to be, you know, head of coaching and training every year. Give that responsibility to someone else. I know that, like, a lot of people, because they're like, I've made this. This is my baby. I don't want to see it in somebody else's hands. You know, when it comes to the thing that they've worked so hard on, you know, over a year or 2 years or however long they've been in that position. But it's like, sometimes you just got to trust and just let somebody else do the job, mm-hmm. you know, for your own mental health. Like, yeah. It's okay to not be in a position on the board and just play the sport.
Yeah.
Just go and be a player, pay your dues, show up and volunteer when you need to. But, like, you don't have to do it all every year.
The other thing that I think is that you can take on different roles in mm-hmm. roller derby that can adapt to your life. Like, I have been broken a lot over the course of my derby career. And that doesn't mean I'm not involved. In fact, I'm super involved. Mm-hmm. But that's the choice that you can make, though. Like, yes, would I love to skate again? Absolutely. Will I skate again? I'm not really sure, you know, because of my injuries and how my body is. But, like, I have found another role within the sport that mm-hmm. you don't have to be a player. You can be a ref. You can be a volunteer. You could be an NSO. You could be a coach. You could be a bench coach. You could be a mascot. Like, you could mm-hmm. be a cheerleading team. Like,
tape wrangler.
Like, there's so many mm-hmm. things that you could do that just keep you involved in this community. And I think that that's what is really great about what we do as a sport, is that mm-hmm. there's a place for you.
It's the Isle of Misfit Toys.
We are.
Oh, yes.
You know, I kind of feel like Derby is a movie that is made entirely of Muppets.
That is so accurate. I move like a Muppet sometimes.
Yes, you do.
You sounded like a Muppet earlier. You made your Muppet voice. You made a Muppet voice.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Oh,
do it again.
I don't even know what you're referring to.
Oh.
I'm so sorry.
She's like, that's just my regular voice. Like,
that's how I am all the time.
But I think that not only do you have different roles that you can play within the league, you can also very easily help out another league too. Mm-hmm. So, and mm-hmm. that goes all the way from skaters to refs to NSOs, right on down the chain. Like, so many times, especially in the Northeast, we have a ton of teams in the Northeast, but some teams fall short with rostering. So they pull in other leagues to help round out their roster. And, you know, I don't know of many other teams that would just keep borrowing skaters. I am not a sport person, so I don't really know. But like, hey, I've definitely contacted both of you like several times, been like, hey, do you think that we could borrow some skaters?
That was the first time I met them.
Yeah.
Was when you guys helped our team
last year
for going down to New Jersey.
Yeah.
That was a fun game. I enjoyed that game.
Yeah, it was fun. Though. It was the first game back. And I got to skate with you both again.
Yay! It was a time warp.
It was a time
it
warp.
It was so wonderful.
Look at us.
We got to play.
It was amazing.
Yeah. I got to skate in a circle just with you.
It brought me so much joy.
I just got to tell you guys how awesome you were doing.
You were doing an awesome job.
Yeah, you were doing a lot of hard
work. You kept us like on the level.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. On the level.
You yelled at me when I was crying.
Did you need it, though?
No.
You did. I'm being a jerk to you.
Yeah, it was you being a jerk to you. And that's when I yelled at you. Yeah. And I was like, don't talk about that.
Yeah.
About my friend.
Yeah, do we need to talk about rule number one?
Yeah, I know.
Rule number one.
I know.
Have fun. And I was yelling at you as I was putting like lotion on your knees.
For the record, it was like Arnica.
That's my preferred medication.
There you go.
Whenever I always put Arnica on it.
Yeah. You're not putting the lotion on the skin. No, you're not doing that.
Putting the lotion on the skin.
Yeah.
No, it was the CBD lotion that I had brought.
That's what it was.
Yeah, so it was lotion.
I was putting the lotion on the skin.
It was the CBD I was putting on your knees.
Reapply some Arnica to whatever that is.
I've been putting the lotion on the skin and so many different body parts this season. I don't know what it is, but it's like it's one part after another part after another part. The car is falling apart on the highway as we're driving. And I'm trying to duct tape it back together.
Yeah. We're all just duct taped back together, especially again at this point in the season where we're all just we're just hurting.
Yeah, and I know at this point, some people take like a leave of absence. That's something that our team or our league offers that gives skaters an opportunity to just step away from the league without not being part of the league. Like, we still consider them part of the league, but they're just not. They need some time.
Yeah, and I think our dues are a little bit different for people who are on a leave of absence, too.
Yeah.
That it's where it's you're not paying all of it because you're not going to be there, but it's still, you're still helping the league. But so if your league is thinking about having like, or implementing a leave of absence, I highly suggest it. I think just like you can love your job so much, but you still need a vacation.
Yeah.
You know, you have to give yourself a vacation from Derby. It's okay. Like, you can love something and still step away from it.
Yeah. And as we tell everybody who ends up taking an LOA or leaving the league, because, you know, shit happens and this is a recreational thing and sometimes your life just cannot handle Derby, and it's always that Derby is always here. Derby will be here when you get back. Like, if you ever want to come back, we're here. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean, we all came back after COVID. I mean, it's possible.
It is possible.
It is possible. You can come back.
That was probably part of why I'm still in derbies, because that break happened and I'm like, I wasn't quite done. Yeah. Like, I wasn't quite done doing what I was doing.
Yeah.
So that involuntary break probably helped, but just trying to
resuscitate it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And refuel yourself.
Yeah.
And even just fueling your body in terms of like the physical aspects of it and paying attention to eating nice foods that make you happy and feed your soul and feed your strength.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I know with our league, where the board is actually working through revising our main handbook for the league to be less stringent, because I feel like a lot of leagues went so hard for so long, and you know, COVID destroyed our sport. It like obliterated it, and you know, trying to resuscitate it and get it back to where it was. I think that a lot of leagues have had to be flexible with how their skaters are, how they feel, really paying attention to their mental state as well as their physical state. I don't want a skater on the track that isn't feeling mentally prepared, like, well for it, for what they're doing. I mean, you know, physical health and mental health go hand in hand. And I think that, like, with us at Shoreline, we're trying to make things less stringent and less rigid to allow for people to just, if they need a break, they can take a break. Like, it's okay to do that.
I mean, it's, in that retrospect, I think it all depends, too, on the league, too. Because there are, there's more competitive leagues out there who are not going to be as lenient as, like, a recreational league.
Right.
You know, but, I mean, that's...
I mean, that's us, and we're not WIFTA sanctioned.
Yeah. And there are many leagues like ours, but... And I feel like there's probably more of us than there is, like, the super competitive leagues. But, like, if you're going into a super competitive league, you know what you're going into.
Right. Exactly. You know? Exactly. And that's a decision you make, and you know that it is there. Like, that is your... That's your parameters. At Hard, who is sanctioned, like, what are your LOA policies, or do you have an a leave of absence option? And
we absolutely do. I mean, we have folks who go on LOA for whatever reason they need, right? Like, it's a, I mean, in the line of work I'm in, I'm often telling people no.
Yeah.
But I'm always saying it's a no for now, right? It doesn't mean, you know, again, it's with LOA, it's just a not right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And we can I think we can all recognize that sometimes it's just not right now. Right. It's life is in the way. Your mind's not right. It's just your body is not feeling it. Whatever the reason is, it doesn't even matter. Like, if you're not having fun in the moment. You can come back.
Yeah.
It will be realistic, right? The sport changes constantly. So you're going to have to adapt when you get back, but it's still going to be fun.
Right. And it's still going to be there.
It's going to be there.
With open arms.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody's always going to be like, what I do, which is I just keep going. I just have it. The battery pack doesn't shut off.
Like Energizer Bunny.
It just doesn't shut off.
Yeah.
But that's just my personality. I go all in, all the time, always.
Yeah.
Because that's what I find fun.
Yeah.
And that is also okay.
Yeah, it is super okay. That's okay too.
It's okay to not have burnout.
There's lots.
I just want to make sure that anybody listening knows that, like, if you don't ever feel burnout, that is completely normal too. That's completely fine.
Yeah, and the only reason why we had kind of thought about talking about it today is because we, in my experience, this time of year tends to start with the burnout feels. You know, it's the end of the season, the start of school, back after summer. And you know, you're tired. You're tired. It's been all derby all summer. But you know, with the holidays and with fall coming, it does, I feel a lot of derby kind of takes a backseat. Not a backseat, but like we do expo bouts and like themed scrimmages, and it's much more focused on fun than fucking somebody up.
Yeah. I think
skate for fun, not to save life.
That's right. Yes.
I feel like it's the, if you have a, we used to have a sort of competitive part of the season at the beginning of the year and a less competitive, like a team's home team's deal at the second half of the year. in terms of flow and when things are less competitive. That's when some of the more social aspects, I think, pick up, mm-hmm. and the personal and social connections in Derby and the community mm-hmm. Aspect really has a lot of opportunity. And I know one thing we're working on at heart is recruitment and retention right. because we want to share this sport with yeah. everybody, and we need to keep the people who are there happy right. and keep them from being burnt out and make it fun for them and make sure it's filling their cup.
Yeah.
Make sure it's you know, it's doing something.
Another for them. Reason to spread the joy to join our not cult.
It's not a cult.
It's not a cult. Please join our not cult, because the more people we have for our home team, the more we can do fun scrimmages like that where yeah. it's just us. And it's a huge team bonding, silly, crazy thing that we can do. But if there's not mm-hmm. enough people, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not able to do that. So it's.
So I'm going to put out another shout out there to like get us your stories of or get us your ideas. What works for your league with recruitment?
Mm-hmm.
Email us cominghotintothebox@gmail.com. Or visit the website. You can contact us through there or shoot us a DM on Instagram.
Yeah.
But we want to know what you're doing to make recruitment work for you, what works for you, what doesn't, what's your retention rate, how do you keep people interested while they're skating with you when they're not in an active season. I think it's important. I think it's important to share because, I mean, if you want to be secretive, yeah, be secretive. That's fine. You could be secretive. But, like, to grow the sport, we need to share.
Don't gatekeep.
Even Ruby agrees.
Ruby agrees. Don't gatekeep. Don't gatekeep your information. Your information can help the entire sport.
That's right. Well, geez, guys.
I don't even know how long we've been talking. I don't even know how long
this is, but I feel like I need to wrap this up on tape at least.
You definitely do. It'd probably be a good idea.
So on that note, I want to thank you both so, so much for coming on to our show as our first guests on our show. I can think of no better people to have on our first episode than.
We really appreciate you guys. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having.
Really fun. And anytime you want me back, I would be very delighted.
Well, we're going to have that segment for maybe we'll have you and Karma be our correspondents.
Our field correspondents.
Our field correspondents.
Weirdos in the Wild. Make sure we write that down. So we don't remember. Weirdos in the Wild. And
don't steal it. Don't steal it.
No, trademark.
Trademark. Yep. We trademarked it. Yep, it's too late. Sorry. Don't even look it up.
It's copywritten.
Copy.
It's ours now.
I have very dear friends who are in trademark law, so I'm going to...
I have written it down and copied it.
We're all signing it.
I'm grabbing my tire iron from the car.
Okay.
Well, there it is.
And there it is.
On that note.
Don't forget to like, share, rate, review, do all those fun things for our podcast.
Subscribe.
Please tell your friends, tell your mailman, tell your awesome trucker friend.
Tell your dog.
Oh, tell your dog. They might not listen, but they'll certainly love you for it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're dogs.
That's right. So for now, I hope that you all have a great week and that you go out there and be a goddamn delight.
Yeah.
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 This is Carnage.
And Slice.
And we are coming hot into the box. Till next week. Bye.
Bye. Hey, Mom, did you listen to my podcast?
What's a podcast?